Chapter 1, Sunda Strait, Sumatra, the present day. Sam Fargo eased back on the throttle, taking the engine to idle. The speedboat slowed, gliding to a stop in the water. He shut off the engines and the craft began rocking gently from side to side. A quarter mile off the bow, their destination rose from the water, a thickly forested island whose interior was dominated by sharp peaks, plummeting valleys, and thick rainforest. Below these, a shoreline pockmarked with hundreds of pocket coves and narrow inlets. In the speedboat's aft seat, Remy Fargo looked up from her book, a little escapist reading entitled The Aztec Codices, An Oral History of Conquest and Genocide, pushed her sunglasses onto her forehead and gazed at her husband. Trouble? He turned to her and gave her an admiring stare. Just enjoying the scenic view. Then Sam gave an exaggerated wiggle of his eyebrows. Remy smiled. A smooth talker. She closed the book and placed it on the seat beside her. But Magnum P.I. you're not. Sam nodded at the book. How is it? Slow reading. But the Aztecs were fascinating people. More than anyone ever imagined. How long until you're finished with that one? It's next on my reading list. Tomorrow or the next day. As of late, each of them had been saddled with a daunting amount of homework, and the island to which they were headed was largely the cause. In any other circumstances, the speck of land between Sumatra and Java might be a tropical getaway, but it had in the last few months been turned into a dig site, crawling with archaeologists, historians, anthropologists, and of course a plethora of Indonesian government officials. Like all of them, each time Sam and Remy visited the island, they had to negotiate the treehouse-like rope city the engineers had strung above the site, lest the ground collapse below the feet of the people trying to preserve the find. What Sam and Remy had discovered on Pulau Lagundi was helping to rewrite Aztec and U.S. Civil War history, and as the directors of not only this project but also two others, they had to stay current on the mountain of data coming in. It was for them a labor of love. While their passion was treasure hunting, a decidedly hands-on, field-intensive avocation based as much on instinct as it was on research, each of them had come to it from a scientific background. Sam, a Caltech-educated engineer, Remy, an anthropology and history major from Boston College. Sam had fallen fairly close to the familial tree. His father, now passed away, had been one of the lead engineers on NASA's space programs, while his mother Eunice, now 71, lived in Key West, the sole proprietor, captain, and chief bottle washer of a snorkeling and deep-sea fishing boat. Remy's mother and father, a custom home builder and a pediatrician author, respectively, were both retired and living the good life in Maine, raising llamas. Sam and Remy had met in Hermosa Beach at a jazz bar called The Lighthouse. On a whim, Sam had stopped in for a cold beer, and he found Remy and some colleagues letting off steam after spending the past few weeks hunting for a sunken galleon off Abalone Cove. Neither of them were starry-eyed enough to remember their first meeting as instant love, but the spark was undeniable. Talking and laughing over drinks, they closed down the lighthouse without noticing the hours slipping by. 6 months later, they were married there in a small ceremony. With Remy's encouragement, Sam had been pursuing an idea he'd been tinkering with, an argon laser scanner designed to detect and identify alloys at a distance, through soil and water alike. Treasure hunters, universities, corporations, mining outfits, and the Department of Defense came begging for licenses, checkbooks open, and within a couple of years, Fargo Group Limited was turning a seven-figure profit. 4 years later, they accepted a buyout offer that left them undeniably wealthy, set for the rest of their lives. Instead of sitting back, however, they took a month-long vacation, then established the Fargo Foundation, and set out on their first joint treasure hunt. The wealth recovered went to a long list of charities. Now the Fargos stared in silence at the island before them. Remy murmured, "Still a little hard to fathom, isn't it?" "Indeed it is," Sam agreed. No amount of education or experience could have prepared them for what they'd found on Pulau Lagundi. The chance discovery of a ship's bell off Zanzibar had mushroomed into discoveries that would occupy the attention of generations of archaeologists, historians,